This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Hey, this is DeAndre here, and I wanted to make sure you haven't forgotten about our free stay for up to 5 nights in an Airbnb in the world-famous Tulum, Mexico, that we are giving away in partnership with Greenwood Tulum, and that ends May 31st. Click the link in the show notes for details on how to be eligible to win. Now, on to the show.
Have you ever snagged an incredible deal on award travel only to realize that the flight options are limited or the journey to your gateway city is a hassle? Enter the game-changing strategy of positioning flights. In this episode, we delve into the savvy world of using positioning flights to unlock more destinations, better itineraries, and even greater savings with your points and miles. Whether you are a travel rookie or a seasoned jet setter, join us as we uncover the secrets to maximizing your travel rewards and transforming the way you book your next adventure.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I'm your co-host, Taryn Gisbert.
DeAndre Koch here. Just wanted to remind everyone that we do keep a list of all the best current card welcome offers and sign-up bonuses. We did update that for the month of May, and those are to maximize your points and miles right on our site and in the show notes. And if you do like our content, we'd love it if you thought of us when signing up for your next points and miles card, and that's going to help us to keep helping you.
All right, I guess that brings us to the biggest question, which I know I've heard so much about this term. What is a positioning flight?
Yeah, so positioning flight in the most basic sense is basically you typically paying cash to get yourself to an airport that's a major hub. And that major hub is where you're then going to use your points and miles to get you ultimately to where you want to go. So the best point use comes from major hubs. So like, you know, for Taryn, where you and I live, the Norfolk Airport is great. I love it. We live very, very close, can get there in less than 15, 20 minutes. And security is almost never an issue. There's no lounges. So, you know, that's kind of a problem. But it's a fun airport, easy airport, but we have to connect to 90% of places we want to go. And so usually when it comes to getting to some of our more exotic destinations, we have to fly somewhere first and then use points at that hub, like a JFK or Miami or whatever it may be, to take us to our next place. And so basically there's a mixture of pros and cons to it. At the end of the day, it does require additional planning. There's usually an additional cash cost, like I mentioned. And sometimes if you want to fly a very specific type of flight to really get a really cool experience, a lot of these flights are called the Fifth Freedom flights, right? So that's actually a flight that's not hub to hub. So a good example, a very popular flight for points and miles users is the JFK to Milan flight on Emirates. And that literally only works out of JFK. So most of the time, if you're flying Emirates, you're flying to Dubai or flying out of Dubai, but this is a non-hub to non-hub flight on Emirates, and you can get Emirates business class, Emirates first class, And you typically are going to have to use points, or sorry, use cash to get you to JFK. And then you can use points to take this extended flight on Emirates. Now, I don't know about you, Taryn, but I would love to do this flight. I know we want to get to Milan, so I'm hoping that we can eventually put that on the list. We have a lot of travel coming up, but maybe in the next year or two, we can actually get this one specifically.
I'm hearing that you want to take me shopping because that is what Milan is known for.
Let's do it.
It's already recorded.
It's already recorded. There's evidence now. So what did I just put myself through? Get myself into.
I love this podcast so much sometimes. Yes. Honestly, I think the reason I never knew what a positioning flight was is because I grew up in New York. I had three airports and they were a hassle and you had to be there 3 hours before, even if it was like a domestic flight because of traffic. So I guess that like the terminology for me is new. Living in a smaller place with a smaller airport, which I actually do love. I love that there's better parking, like that's easier in and out. The positioning flights are definitely something that I never knew I'd have to manage. I never thought I'd have to worry about something and be a non-direct. And I didn't think it could be a fun life. But I think we've found a couple ways to make it more fun.
All right, I got to ask you, okay? Two choices here. Okay. Choice A, you got to deal with crazy city traffic. And this could apply if you lived in LA, Chicago, but in your case, New York. All right, so crazy city traffic, have to get there super early, long lines, but you do get a lounge and you can get to most places in the world directly versus 10-minute commute to the airport.
Okay. I'd have to Miami. Let's go.
Got it.
You should have been better prepared for that answer.
That's fair. The other Fifth Freedom flight that's really popular as well is you can actually get from LA to Tokyo on Singapore Airlines, which is a really nice one. And especially the Emirates and Singapore, especially their first class, those are some of the creme de la creme of flights and using points and miles. So one of the things we actually have, we've used positioning flights a lot. Again, we almost have to the majority of the time. We have an upcoming trip to the Maldives again later this year. And we did that. We're actually going to fly to JFK from where we are in Virginia. We're going to use a cash flight to JFK. And then we're flying from JFK to Qatar, and that's going to be in Q Suite. So super excited about that to get to the Maldives. And then also we did use positioning flights as well because we came back from Frankfurt last year, and we actually flew Lufthansa business class, which was really awesome, from Frankfurt to Atlanta. And then we ended up just paying cash for a Delta flight from Atlanta back home.
I was going to say, man, we also did Norfolk to Miami for the last Maldives trip, which was nice. Obviously, that made more sense. It's always good to go south that time of year in case of ice storms and snowstorms. So it was nice that we went south to Miami. We had a layover there. And luckily, my sister had her apartment, which she was so generous to share with us. Love you, Alicia, if you're listening. But yeah, it worked out really well having that layover right there, somewhere local, wasn't a big deal, didn't cost us any extra money. Again, thank you, Alicia. and we arrived at 9:30 a.m. in Miami and left Miami at 9:30 p.m. So we basically went to her place, took a nap, and then I went and bought her some champagne as a beautiful gift, as a thank you for letting us hang out at her place.
Yeah, I mean, December in Miami, 12 hours to kill, wasn't terrible. I mean, we were able to walk the streets. We had brunch on like a cafe. It was Christmas Eve too, because we landed in London on Christmas. But yeah, it worked really, really well. And having the connection there was great.
That brunch was amazing. I forgot about that brunch. That brunch was delicious. We have to plug that in the notes. I have it saved in my Google. Well, we're gonna put that in the notes.
Yeah, if you're in Miami and you need to find a good place to eat, I mean, there's a lot of good places to eat, but we'll make sure to plug that place as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So yeah, so in general, like positioning is really good when you use specific sites, right? So if you use seats.aero or you use Points Yeah or any of these places where you're kind of monitoring really, really good deals for flights. So sometimes if you use frequent miler or Rome, if you sign up for the newsletter, you'll get emails almost daily that's like, hey, New York to Singapore is 50,000 points for this flight on this date, right? So if you're really chasing an opportunity like that, you aren't going to get the same value typically if you have to connect or something along those lines. So you might have to pay cash to get to New York before you can use that flight. So positioning is really good as well. If you're just trying to get one of these really exotic flights, like the first class Singapore, first class Emirates experience. And some people that live the points and miles game, they actually go ahead and they'll go after the flight. They're not necessarily looking for the destination. They want the flight experience as part of the destination. So positioning can really help you make that happen as well. Cause you might be in, I don't know, Indiana listening to this and you see a great flight from JFK, go ahead and fly to JFK and then take that flight on points.
All right. So how exactly do we plan for positioning flights?
Yeah. So this is where it gets a little bit more complex. And if you use the search engines, I'm a big fan of Points Yeah, just because it's newer and the search options are huge. I would first start there because sometimes you will find that round trip or one way from your home airport, even connecting through a JFK or Miami or Atlanta or whatever it may be to the destination you're trying to get, could be pretty close in points or close enough to where it's still valuable to use your points in that manner. But I wouldn't expect too much. Sometimes it does work out. For instance, you know, when you and I were in the Maldives in December and January, we were able to get points, which still blows my mind, from Maldives all the way back home to Norfolk. And that was Maldives to London to JFK to Norfolk, all for 120,000 points. And we flew business class the entire way, mostly Virgin Atlantic. And then when we got to JFK, it was a Delta flight.
It blew my mind. I loved it.
Yeah. So sometimes you're going to get lucky, but researching this enough, I find that most times we don't. So you really want to know like what hubs that you go where you want to go, right? So as an example, if you're trying to go to Europe, you're going to want to start with East Coast airports. So JFK, Newark, Atlanta, that's going to get you more so to the destinations in Europe. And then Hawaii and Asia are going to be West Coast airports, right? It's pretty basic stuff. LAX, San Francisco. And sometimes you'll actually find that some of the airports in the middle of the country have like very specific routes in both directions. So a great example is, and I'm talking about like the Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston airports, Chicago airports. Like you can go from Dallas to Sydney or Dallas to Tokyo. And that's like a very specific only can get from Dallas, flight. Or for example, you can go to Houston to Manchester on Singapore Airlines. And these are some of these more exotic flights that you have to know about. But if you do, you can monitor specifically those points. So what I usually would recommend is first find the best redemption flight first and then book that. And you and I, Taryn, where Bali is coming up here in a few months, and we've been trying to figure out how to piece that together. Mm-hmm. And we got the first leg done, basically, which is getting to Bali. And so we fly from San Francisco on a Monday, but we still have to get to San Francisco. So more than likely, since we have all of our status with American Airlines, which I know you are constantly racing me to see who can climb the ladder first, which I
always
don't know. Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see who gets the gold first. I think you're probably going to beat me with some of these HelloFreshes and Blue Apron packs that you keep
share
doing.
Share the glory there, okay?
I do, because the meals are pretty good, especially with the way that you do it, because you're an amazing cook. So you like enhance.
Thank you, darling.
Yes, you enhance the meals.
He's making this a date night. I love it.
So I completely lost my train of thought.
Keep
now.
Romancing me. Let's go.
There we go. So because America is where our status is, we likely will fly American to San Francisco, hopefully get some upgrades there. And then depending on the flight that we get, we'll either stay overnight in San Francisco or we'll do it all in one day, just depending on what it is. And so we still got to work through that. I really like to use, transitioning a little bit, I really like to use a website called flightconnections.com. And there is a free version that can really help out. I actually paid for the full version, and there was a way to pay for life. So instead of paying annually or whatever, I want to say it was like $120 forever. So it wasn't anything crazy, but that's really cool because you actually, with use Flight Connections, you can see, for example, if you want to fly to Maldives, you can see all the airports that fly into the Maldives, and you can do that for free in general. But if you really want to know what's the hub that you need to get to, you can kind of work your magic to figure out, okay, let me reverse engineer this and figure out what airports in the US will get me to the Maldives. So you can kind of follow the trail there. And the reason why I pay though is because Taryn and I have the status with American, we have a lot of American miles. We have a lot of extra miles everywhere else, but we have a lot of American miles. Taryn has a boatload of American miles, which comes
that's
in handy.
That's my favorite thing to hack is American.
Yes, yes. Taryn outclasses me on American by a wide margin. So American is part of the One World Alliance. So I use the Flight Connections website and I pay for it because it allows you to search by alliance. And so I can see specifically if I only want to fly One World Alliance, I can see what airports fly One World to get to the Maldives or Bali as an example. And then I know, okay, I can try to find or try to figure out how to use my American miles specifically to get to Doha, Qatar as an example, or Kuala Lumpur, whatever it may be, to try to get me to the Maldives or try to get me to Bali. So that was super helpful because we were able to filter our flight. So we found out Kuala Lumpur, Doha, Hong Kong, Sydney, Melbourne, all those places got us to Bali specifically, which is what helped us figure out our strategy there. So that was really cool. But you also can do a different strategy as well. So a lot of times when people talk positioning flights, they're talking about what Taryn mentioned, which was like, you know, the looking at getting in the US. And I know that's a different concept for you just because of the fact that you grew
up
in.
I'm spoiled.
Yes, yes. You had the mecca of airports within
the trifecta with JFK, LaGuardia, and sadly Newark. You know, sometimes it pulled through if it was like a United flight. But yeah, I'm just a little spoiled there.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. So you also, but a different ways you can position yourself in a different way, right? So let's just say you're trying to get to, you're trying to get to Portugal as an example. Instead of trying to figure out a whole point strategy as how do you get directly into Portugal, you could use points to fly to Milan or fly to Amsterdam or fly to Frankfurt with like an Emirates or Lufthansa. And then flights from Europe to Europe are just as cheap as like flights from New York to DC, right? So you can then pay cash to get you to Portugal, but you spent the points in luxury on the long haul to get you to Milan as an example. So that's a really cool strategy. We haven't actually done that yet because usually we've worked it out to get to where we're trying to go. But
well,
I do see.
I mean, we've traveled within Spain. That was some of the easiest traveling we did.
We did. So yes, we did do that. I was more so saying we didn't position with a plan to like, hey, let's go into this one country so that we can go into another country in cash. But yes, we did fly around Spain. We paid cash for those flights, but
that's why we went to Frankfurt.
Yeah, on the way back. Yeah,
that's what I was talking about. like we flew intra Europe, which is easier because it's way more lax with security, timing, which is a huge benefit when you're traveling within the same country in Europe. It's even easier. We learned that in Spain. They didn't even check our IDs until we were almost on the plane, which freaked me out a little bit, honestly.
Yep, I remember that.
I was was like, are they going to check anybody's passports? They haven't checked our passports.
We were waiting to, like, looking plane? For people, looking for security. And no one was like, yep, just go here. And it was just before we got on the plane, like you said, that someone said, okay, like, are you in the right spot, basically?
Yeah, that made me a little nervous. But it's also a benefit of, like, once you are actually in Europe, it's a lot easier to travel within Europe. And that's one of the benefits of the EU. So as long as they're in the EU, it makes it even easier because their travel typically is more streamlined and it'll be quicker. It won't be as fast as global entry, but, you know, I guess it's the closest thing that Europe has to compare.
Yes. That being said, we lucked out a bit because our flight to Frankfurt before coming back, that was all points, actually. So we didn't pay cash to get to Frankfurt. That was at Rome. Yeah. Rome to Frankfurt. We had that really cool overnight stay in a top rated hotel in Frankfurt, walked the town a little bit. Cause we were only there for like 20 hours, but it was overnight. Stayed in a 5-star hotel. And then we got to board luxury on the flight back. And that was when we got back to Atlanta, where we then did position from Atlanta back home.
It was beautiful. I loved it. I loved our little stop in Frankfurt, although we have to go back to Germany. That's not all I want to see. But there are also things to be aware of. And I have some personal stories as well once we get into this.
Hey, it's DeAndre here, and we're going to interrupt this episode real quick to tell you about two great opportunities for all of you. First, join our private Facebook community to connect with fellow points and miles enthusiasts, get exclusive tips and updates, as well as get your questions answered directly by me and others in the community. And if you're looking to level up your points and miles skills, we've partnered with Lux Travel Hacks to offer you 50% off their online course that will teach you all the basics you need to know to learn how to travel in business or first class, all for less than you'd pay for economy. Don't forget to use the code BOLDLYGO at checkout. You'll find all the details and links to both of these in the show notes. Now, let's get back to our episode. Before we get to that piece on what to be aware of, just keep in mind there are a couple airlines that are like super budget. I'm not necessarily recommending them because, I mean, we saw the chaos of one of them when we were in London. But like EasyJet, you can get a flight for like $50, but it's going to be kind of the Spirit Airlines. I remember when we were going to the Maldives. Yeah, when we were in Gatwick Airport and we got to the floor where there was EasyJet to check in, and it was chaos. We both looked at each other like, oh my God, I hope this is not our airline. And thankfully it wasn't. But it was a little chaotic. So you can also find like super budget airlines in the Europe as well. And in episode 13, if you didn't get a chance, that was a super popular one with Tom Marsden. He actually talks about how once he worked to get his family to Europe and his family of five, it was super easy to just bounce around once in Europe.
So there are some things to be aware of. And in my opinion, it's the Philadelphia airport, but there are more things.
There are more things, but let's just jump into that one. Talk about your love of the Philadelphia airport. I know that is one of your favorite in the world.
It is. I have nothing against the city of Philadelphia. You make some great cheesesteaks. I like a lot of the things that you stand for. I want to make this very clear. I think your airport is total trash. And I have been stuck there overnight throughout like the past 2 decades, multiple times on snowstorms. I have been locked out where there is no bar because there's renovations. And literally every time I fly through there, even though it looks like I'm going to be right next to my connecting flight, they always change it last minute and I have to run outside, catch a outside shuttle, go all the way around the airport, and I never even get to go to the lounge. So in my, like, Philly may as well not have a lounge. Actually, I'm pretty sure they do, but I've never been to it because even with like a 3-hour layover, I never get there. And I blame my own curse of Philadelphia, I guess.
So I know that's just like your experience with Philly in
like
general.
Like 10 times. It's not I know, like one I know. time. If it was one time I give everybody a pass, but it's like 10 times.
So it's kind of funny because every time we're planning a trip, like I think we do have one where I've researched crazy amounts. I think it's the Bali one. And I do believe we have a connection in Philly. And I remember I was like, hey, babe, this is just how it's going to have to happen for this one flight. But I always feel worried when I have to tell you that we're going to have to possibly fly through Philly.
Well, I'm not sure we're going to be welcome after anyone hears this podcast.
Yeah, I'll just have to wear enough green then when I go in there. So things to be aware of. I think the biggest thing, right, the absolute, absolute biggest thing is give yourself enough time between flights. Because one thing you got to realize, right, if you do a positioning flight, you are buying two separate itineraries, oftentimes with two very different airlines, and one is not going to know about the other. So you have to give yourself enough time because you have to make sure to plan for switching terminals, going back through security, rechecking bags. So if you're in our camp, and we're in the pretty often checking bags camp, especially when we go diving because we have dive equipment.
It's not always your fault.
But we are oftentimes checking bags, right? So if you get to your destination where you've positioned to, you've got to go to baggage claim, collect your bags, and then go back to the desk or find the desk of the airline you're about to fly, wait in line. Check now. Obviously, it's a luxury trip, and so hopefully, if so, you're in their business class line, which should be very short or expedited. But just keep these things in mind. But that also applies to like flight delays and weather issues as well. Mm-hmm. So, I think personally, in my opinion, like the bare minimum amount of time you should leave in between is like 5 hours. But I would recommend way more. So ideally 11, 12 or overnight, which you have to then factor in. Does it make sense to use to pay for a hotel that night? Or maybe you have one of the cards that gets you a free night stay or use points for that. So these are all things to factor in. But you really don't want to miss that next flight because there's not really a lot they can do for you. So that you've got to really plan very carefully.
Especially certain positioning flights, like a lot of the ones from Miami to the islands, there's like one flight per day. And if that flight gets canceled, you have to wait till the next day and you have to hope there's a spot on that flight.
Yeah, that is the gamble. And so if you're, I can like hear people like their anxiety and they think about this because it is a little bit of a gamble. I do know some people that will like they'll book their flight from, let's just say, I don't know, Virginia to New York, or let's say Virginia to Chicago, but then they'll buy a refundable ticket on Southwest just as a backup plan. So if something happens, they can do it. Mm-hmm. I think for some of the stuff that we do enough of a gap ideally so that if worst case scenario happened, we can take another flight I would have to see if our trip insurance that we have with our cards worked with this. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but if I was desperate enough, I'd say, hey, let me just buy cash for this other airline, Delta, and just on the spot today, hey, can we get there, especially if we had a really big itinerary like something like Bali or whatever it may be. So you want to make sure whatever your hub is that you're flying out of, you do fly direct there. Because another thing you got to factor in, especially if you check bags, right? If they lose your baggage on the way to this next place, well then, and you have a very tight turnaround time and they don't have time to get it to you on the next flight, well then you're not going to have the bags just forwarded to you, you know, this destination you're going to long haul. So these are all things to really be aware of. So an example is another thing that you should be aware of is lounge entry times from the standpoint of, let's say you do have a 12 hour layover and you're just like, hey, I'm going to wait in, I'll just wait in the lounge, whatever it may be. I'll wait in the Centurion lounge. So if you, for example, if the flight we did to Miami, if we flew into Miami at 9 a.m. and said, hey, our next flight out's at 9:30 p.m., a lot of times lounges aren't going to let you in to stay that long. Some of them will. Some of like the American Airlines flagship first class lounges will, but a lot won't, especially if you're outside of 3 hours. So if you're planning on sitting in the lounge for 12 hours, that might not be an option. And then another issue is counters opening up as well. Some of the airlines, like, they don't open their counter, especially if, like, the flight from Qatar Airways to Qatar is the only flight out going at 9:30 p.m., they are not going to have gate attendants or desk attendants until 3 to 4 hours before that flight. So you've got to keep your bags with you the entire time until you can check your bag. And I've had that happen actually for me before when I was in Thailand a few years ago, where I got to the airport, but my flight wasn't for 7 hours. And I just sat at the airport, not in a lounge, like literally in just waiting in front of where you a seat where you check your bags, waiting for the gate to open for me to be able to get my bag checked so I could finally get into a lounge 3 hours before my flight. So these are just all things to be aware of, because if you're planning on just relaxing in a lounge and all the stuff that Taryn and I talk about and just chilling for hours on end, that might not be possible.
If I could add one thing, it's not about the 3 hour or timing, but recently, especially in Miami, as well as other places, there have been longer than usual lines to get in. So even if you only have a couple hours and it's a domestic layover, normally if it's like 2 hours, Miami, another hub, wherever, you have plenty of time in the past to have gotten into the Centurion Lounge, any lounge, gotten some food, go to the bathroom, get something to eat, whatever you want to do. Recently, we've seen some circumstances, and it may not be every airport, but where some of them are going to be restricting the amount of people they let in. And we unexpectedly, because it's not consistent, where we had to like wait in a very long line to get into the lounge, which has definitely impacted our plan of eating and drinking, as well as just our timing in general. And if you have a shorter window of time, then you're going to be even more restricted if that happens where you're at.
Yeah. And for the new listeners out there, if you're wondering, like, how do you get into these lounges? A lot of the top cards that we talk about and Taryn and I have get you into the lounges for free, basically, as part of the fee that you pay with the card. So Taryn has the Capital One Venture X card. She has a Sapphire Preferred and others. I have the Amex Platinum. Oh, she has the Amex Platinum as well.
Yes, that was my first one. I was going to say, how are you going to forget the Amex?
I have the Amex Business Platinum, Personal Platinum also, and then Chase Sapphire Reserve. And so we get pretty much into almost any lounge in almost any airport. And then also, of course, the airline lounges, specifically when we're flying first class or business class in those airports. So if you're wondering, like, hey, how do you get into these lounges? For the newer listener, the right cards will get you into the lounge. And so that's factors into our travel plans. But also, again, if we have too long of a layover or time between our positioning flight and our points flight, that could play an impact as to how, when can we even get into the lounge. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Again, lost bags is an issue. And then thankfully, Taryn and I are dinkwads, right? So we are dual incomes, no kids with a dog. So we don't have the, struggles of navigating flying with a full family. We've had plenty of guests on our show that have done that. But I would say that positioning flights could be a lot more difficult if you're traveling with younger kids and you have to kill 12 hours doing something before your flight. I can't even imagine having to deal with that.
I mean, yeah. That sounds like a lot of things on a lot of things. And just to the lost bag, sometimes it's an unexpected. It's not that they just lose it. I had a connecting flight. I was going from Chicago O'Hare to Las Vegas. And I had a checked bag and a carry-on bag that they made me check at the gate, which I hate. I mean, who doesn't hate that? That's like the worst. You're like, no, you can't have it. It's just, it's all batteries. Let me keep it. I've tried it. It doesn't work. I've tried it. And they made me check the bag. We got to the next place. And unfortunately, this is probably not normal. It probably will never happen to you. But the door jammed shut on the luggage door. So all of our gate checked luggage was completely trapped. So everyone was waiting who had to be forced to check a gate check bag. And we were all waiting and we all had connecting flights. And it was at the point where I was going to miss my next flight, but there was no way that my check bag was going to make it. My gate check bag was going to make it to my destination because there was no indication of where it was going. And ladies, I had my Dyson hair dryer in there. to give you any, you know, I needed that back in addition to other things. But freak accident. This is not normal, but these kind of things can happen. Basically, because the door jammed shut, some sort of luggage got like lodged against the door. They couldn't open it. So we couldn't get our gate check luggage. Most of us missed our connections. But I was not going to sacrifice my bag. And I'm glad I didn't, but others did. And that kind of thing can happen. And that's just the kind of thing to be aware of, that it's not common. It's not normal. But I had to make a decision that day. All right, let's get to final thoughts.
Yeah, so pretty straightforward, right? Positioning flights can make things easy and can really lower the point redemption. So if you have a certain amount of points, 100,000, 150,000, 200,000, and you're really trying to find the ideal deal when it comes to getting from point A to point B, it can a lot of times be so much easier, especially in searching. The biggest thing I hear when people ask me questions is, I can't find flights out of XYZ airport. Well, yes, because it's so much easier to look for flights out of Atlanta, JFK, LAX, San Francisco, Chicago, so on and so forth. So positioning flights can make it so much easier to search, but also you have to be aware of the risks, because if you don't plan properly, you can completely ruin the entire start or I guess return technically as well of your vacation, and you don't want to have that happen. So just plan ahead, make sure that you are aware that that can cause a little bit of an additional cost. We talk about free travel, but usually we say nearly free, right? So it's not always 100% free. There are some risks, but just plan accordingly. And again, make sure to use major hubs. Give yourself enough time. Fly to the hub direct as best as possible if you can. And even if necessary, stay the night before. That way you know you get there. You know you can relax. You don't have to stress out about if you have enough time and if there's any issues that's going to prevent you from really enjoying flying in luxury.
Reminders. If you enjoyed this episode today, be sure to follow us on all social media channels and sign up for our newsletter, as well as get insider information. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and tell your friends. We'll see you on the next episode.
Take care, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.